Hi, my name is Destiny Leggett. I'm a senior at Louisiana Tech University, and this podcast is for my History 467 class titled Vietnam, Watergate, and After. Today we're going to be discussing who gets to be an American. It's important to note that we'll be discussing the question, not necessarily answering this question, as there can be many viable answers. Joining me today is Matthew Porto. Matthew is a senior at Louisiana Tech University studying aviation management.
Hey, thanks for having me. Like you said, it's important to note that we aren't necessarily providing a single answer to the question of who gets to be an American, because there may not be one correct answer. There won't be a one-size-fits-all blanket answer that will solve everyone's problems.
Yeah, you're right. No matter how you word some things, there will always be those specific situations that don't necessarily meet what the writings say. So we'll first start off with some history.
The United States is labeled as a nation of immigrants. The country first opens its border in the early 1800s with easy access into the country. In 1790, Congress passed the first laws regulating naturalization. Naturalization is a legal process through which a foreign citizen or national can become a U.S. citizen. By 1860, the population was around 32 million with around 4 million foreign-born individuals. So, at this time, the U.S. was still relatively new, and there were only 32 million people in the country, and one-eighth of that was foreigners. So to put that into comparison, California has 39 million people living there today. So imagining the fact that there's an entire country with 7 million people less than a single state today really puts it into perspective.
And then in 1857, the issue of birthright citizenship came to light when a slave born in Virginia sued his slave owner for his freedom in a federal court after he'd been brought to a non-slave state. This became known as Dred Scott v. Sanford, and unfortunately, this paved the way for further racism in America. During the Civil War, immigrants and African Americans rallied behind the Union. Shortly after the Civil War in 1868, the 14th Amendment became ratified, which states, "All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws."
So in passing the 14th Amendment, it really kind of set the stage on a national level of what the United States is considering a citizen to be. In summarizing it, it flat out says that all persons born or naturalized in the U.S. are citizens, and that no state can make any laws contradicting that, obviously, because it's the Constitution. It then says that citizens cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without their due process. So in my opinion, the 14th Amendment really kind of ties all the aspects of the 4th Amendment up, and it applies it directly to these defined citizens.
So over the next few decades, immigration policy became more restricted. Comparing the early 1800s to current times, in the early 1800s, citizenship had almost no limitations. And now, according to the Department of Homeland Security, nearly 200,000 people rely on sponsorship by their children.
Right. So it was limitless in the sense that when you came here, there was no official process of naturalization like there is today. So keep in mind, this is before Social Security was enacted, so nobody had Social Security numbers issued to them, and they hadn't even been created. So it wasn't like when you got a job, you had to provide some sort of proof of citizenship like you do today. You just kind of showed up, you had whatever kind of interview you had for whatever your job was going to be, and they hired you based on your ability to work, not your legal right to be there. And honestly, it really didn't matter, because whatever money you made stayed wherever you were, and everybody was happy. Now, today, that official process has really been established, and the government is finding that tons of people who are coming to the United States are coming here through their children sponsoring them, which basically a child of two non-citizens can turn 21, and they're able to act as sort of an anchor point to bring their parents into the U.S. and make them legal aliens on the path to citizenship. And with that number at 200,000, the sticker shop really sounds like a lot, but compare that to the 8 million that it was a couple hundred years ago, and you see that putting a set process in place really draws down those numbers.
Yeah, the process allows for a lot more regulation and sets a standard for what's occurring within the immigration system. And with that, it pretty much concludes our very, very brief overview of immigration to the U.S. So we'll be right back after a break to talk about the main question, what we're all here to learn about: who gets to be an American?
Do you feel that? That's the feeling of awe. And the sense of calm as it washes over you, leaving you to just sit back and enjoy. Let all your travel worries drift away thanks to 24/7 help with the Travelocity Customer First Guarantee. Travelocity. Wander wisely.
Hi, welcome back to the podcast. So we've covered the history of immigration and have gotten a sense of what policy does to it versus completely opening the borders. And so now, the big question: who gets to be an American? Now, point blank, Matt, what do you think? Who gets to be an American?
Wow, what a tough question, right? thanks for putting me on the spot. But in my opinion, now this is the opinion of Matt Porto here, I think that anyone and everyone who wants to be an American can be an American. I think that America is the land of opportunity, and it's the place of freedom and endless ability, and I think that sort of applies to anybody. But here's sort of the caveat. We've already looked at the comparison between sort of open, limitless borders, and foreigners 200 years ago were an eighth of the population when we were just a young nation. So just imagine it now. If we opened our borders to the world, tons of people would want to come here and experience the endless opportunity and the freedom that I mentioned. So there's got to be a limitation, but I do think that that's a different subject in itself. As far as being an American, I think there's got to be a deletion of all the hyphens. At some point, we've all got to be American. We can't be Anglo-Americans, African-Americans, Latin Americans, French Americans, whatever. We've all just got to be together on this. We did come from our own countries a long time ago, but at what point are we going to just classify ourselves as being from here? What point is America just going to be America? So that's my take on it. What about you? Who gets to be an American?
I mean, anyone. I think anyone can be an American. I agree that there's got to be some processes and procedures, though, being the historical evidence shows that it's necessary. I agree that everyone here has got to be an American. You've got to drop the title of whatever you were before and just be American. It's about more than just a title, and it isn't meant to degrade anyone, but I think if you came here to be a part of this so-called American dream, you're signing up to be a part of this American community and culture. You're becoming a member of the American family, so to speak. So look at it like this. When you get married, you take someone else's last name. Your main focus is no longer the family of your maiden name. You've now started a new family, and that's your main focus. The culture, traditions, and lessons you've learned from your maiden family haven't left, but you'll continue to use and value them, but you've begun a new chapter. The same goes for becoming an American. So who gets to be an American? It's someone who is ready to become an American and to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And taking a look back at our history, being an American used to be about upholding certain family values. Robert Self says that in 1960s, a typical American family was headed by the man, who performed market work. The woman of the house was meant to stay at home, and any work she performed was to be supplementary to the man's income and should have been focused on the maintenance of the family. As we can all see, this type of cultural demographic has really been replaced. Anybody can perform market work, and anybody can help maintain the home and the family. Society's less focused on gender norms now, and I definitely think that helps the case of someone being American. Being an American is about having the ability to be who you want to be, not worrying about doing something because that's the way it has always been done.
Definitely a great point and a great opinion on the question at hand, I think. So there you have it, folks. That's it. No, I'm kidding. But We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the obstacles and barriers we're having to face in order to really answer the question of who gets to be an American as a society.
Who loves social networking as much as you? Identity thieves. They can find your personal information and do some serious damage, like your birthday or your mother's maiden name. You need a new friend, LifeLock. We scour billions of data points every day. And if we discover that any of your personal information is misused, LifeLock is there. Call us at 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com today.
And we're back. So we just talked about our opinions on who gets to be an American. And I think, Destiny, you really definitely make a good point in saying that we've got to be 100% into becoming an American. But one thing I'm noticing about both of our opinions is that we're kind of assuming that everyone is all hunky-dory and happy about everything and willing to accept people with open arms. But unfortunately, there are just a lot of issues that still have to be considered. Two of these are the fact that, number one, there are a lot of legal implications that come into being an American, and establishing those processes. And number two, there are still a lot of people who just flat out don't want anybody from the outside the United States to become an American.
So some of the legal implications that you mentioned would be having to potentially rewrite entire parts of the immigration policy, which is a huge topic in our country right now, and will probably be a large factor in the presidential election next year. It's widely agreed upon and argued about that the current policies and practices that are in place are fundamentally broken and need to be fixed. But like we said earlier, there isn't one answer to fix all of these problems, and that's what makes life hard.
Right. I definitely think there are issues with the current system. I know a student here at Tech who was born just over the Canadian border, and he was born to two American parents, and it still took him 11 years to become a fully born citizen. He lived here, he went to public school here, and obviously was a product of two full-fledged citizens, and it still took him that long to get through the process. Looking at him now, he's wanting to serve in the military for the U.S. as his career. And I think that definitely qualifies someone to, you know, be an American like we're talking about. But the system itself is fundamentally broken, I think.
Well, then the second difficulty in determining who gets to be an American is the large differentiation in ideas between the people of the U.S. There are a lot of people who want to welcome foreigners with open arms, but there's also a lot of people who want to cut down on the number of outside people that the United States keeps accepting. More and more, we're seeing the clash between these two groups, and it's creating a lot of division in society, which is why it's going to be such a major part of the election next year. A major talking point for many of the prospective presidential candidates has been their desire to unify Americans as a whole. But as we've said time and time again, there isn't going to be an answer that makes everyone happy, unfortunately.
Yeah, one thing a lot of people can't agree on, though, is that if a person who is wanting to come to America, they're willing to come to America and they're willing to work hard, they can certainly earn their keep. And from what I've noticed, going back to the military thing, many people think that if an immigrant chooses to serve as a part of our American military, they certainly have the right to call themselves an American. And in my opinion, there's nothing more reputable than someone coming into a foreign country and immediately signing up to defend it with their life. That to me is the American spirit, you know, standing up for something that you believe in and love.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Joining the military is definitely an honorable calling in itself, let alone doing it for a country you're not even native to. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are against foreigners joining the military as a pathway to citizenship. As I'm sure you know, our military is strictly a voluntary thing, meaning that currently you only serve in the military if you volunteer to do it. Because of this, because of the fact that you're only there if you choose to be, we've got a pretty good military. Lots of people see joining as a path to citizenship as something that can create an influx in our military people who don't necessarily want to be there, but because they see it as the easiest means to reach their goal of being here legally. Consequently, too many of these people that aren't there completely voluntarily is a weakened military. People who would just surrender at the first sign of trouble, if you will.
Yeah, I'd heard of that. It's really an unfortunate thing and probably not the most ideal way to look at it. But, so I guess somebody's got to play devil's advocate, I guess.
It can be a little bit of a downer, but it's good that people think of these things so the decision makers can make well-rounded decisions.
Definitely. You want to take one last break?
Sure. We'll take one more break and we'll finish up when we come right back.
What is Coca-Cola? Is it an excuse to get together? Since 1886, Coca-Cola has been passing on smiles from generation to generation. We've been giving kids scholarships, like the early birds and the all-nighters. And you get to enjoy what matters most. Coca-Cola. Drink up.
Welcome back to the podcast. So we're talking about the question of who gets to be an American. And as Matt and I have mentioned a few times already, this is a hard question to answer. And it's a hard situation, no matter what answer is given, because it's guaranteed not to make everyone happy.
That's right. It puts whoever's making the big bucks to make these decisions between a real rock and a hard place, for sure. It definitely is a personal opinion as to the answer to this question. But I personally think that we've kind of given in some broad and potentially universally correct answers to it today. But maybe that's just me.
That's true. I think we've tried to sort of keep it objective for sure. You mentioned that Americans really need to try and get the hyphenations out of things. No more of the African American, Latin American, French American, or whatever American hyphenation term you're using. We just need to be Americans and establish the country as America in its own right.
That's right. And then you brought up some really good points that when you become an American, whether being by born one or becoming one, you're really becoming part of something bigger, almost like a super huge 300 million person family. Even though you keep some of your same traditions and obviously your experiences, you're an American now. And you can't define it as a gender role of having to do a particular thing within your home, but you can do whatever you want because this is America.
That's right. This is America, and there are obstacles we still have. We've all got our flaws, but really, trying to fix and tie up some of these logistical and legislative issues in the immigration policy is kind of a big deal, and so is trying to figure out a unified position that our country can take up on the whole thing. And it's important to note that no matter how a bill or how a law is written, it won't be able to cover every possible scenario, unfortunately. Laws and policies are essentially living documents that should change with the times and situations they cover. I think getting a country to understand that, though, is the tough part.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think we'll get it all worked out, though. I do have faith. If you want to know more about immigration or what it means to be an American, ask an American or Google it. That's probably a more accurate source on immigration policy.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.